This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Glorious is your name. Blessed be your holy name. Your name that shakes foundations, foundations of evil. Your name that causes people to bow. The Bible says that the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee, not some knees, every knee, not 50% of them, every knee, not 75% of them, every knee, not 90%, every knee shall bow that Jesus alone is Lord. Every tongue shall confess, hallelujah, that Jesus is the risen Savior. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, oh God. Father, as we look into your word, let there be a transformation. In the lives of your people, let there be a transformation. Paul says that I may know him. Lord, today that we may know you, reveal yourself to us in a new way and in a special way. We give you praise and we give you glory. For it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And the people of God say amen. Put your hands together for Jesus as we have the choir go back. Well, no, they're going to stay. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. You may be sitting in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Very quickly, just in addition to the announcements that have been made, this past week was an outstanding week, amen. In Salvation Center, people just kept having babies. Monday baby, Tuesday baby. They took a breath, just a on Wednesday, Thursday baby, hallelujah. Brother Damilola and Sister Yinka, the one that does the welcome, Sister Yinka, they had a bouncing baby girl on Monday. Hallelujah. The baby is already going to be 8 days tomorrow. Amen. And then on Tuesday, Brother Damien and Sister Imale had a bouncing baby girl. Glory. Hallelujah. And then on Thursday, Brother Ade and Sister Toby had a bouncing baby boy. Hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. He's a glorious God. And we thank him that he continues. He says, be fruitful and multiply. We thank God that even in our midst, there shall be no barrenness. There shall be no barrenness. There shall be no barrenness of speech. There shall be no barrenness of the word. There shall be no barrenness of the womb. There shall be no barrenness in our bank account. We shall not experience barrenness in Salvation Center. Amen. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. Amen. It is a covenant that God will uphold. And he will uphold it to the very end. We give you praise, Jehovah. For it is in Jesus' mighty name we give you praise. Amen. Amen. I want us to sing a song this morning. Amen. As a prelude to the sermon, the message this morning. It's a hymn. You know, I used to say, and I take it back. I want to take it back. Publicly, that I didn't like hymns. I take it back to the very core of me. I appreciate and I celebrate hymns because some of the songs that are written nowadays, they don't have understanding of the scriptures. But those individuals, those early Christians who had a relationship with Jesus Christ, they wrote certain words that were exactly that you can tell that they understand the scriptures. So we're going to sing that hymn this morning. Amen. Praise
God. Christ the Lord, my hope is found.
Can they project it so we all can follow?
He is my
in Christ
life,
alone.
My strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid rock, firm to the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strife is sealed. of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied.
Don't just simply listen to the words.
Every sin.
Look at the words. Together for our choir. Hallelujah. Let's keep clapping to encourage them. Amen. They do an outstanding job. Thank you, Jesus. This month, we are talking about the joy of salvation. As I was meditating, that song rose up in my spirit. And I said, Joyce, I thought you didn't like hymns. Why is it that nowadays hymns just flow out of my spirit? I was meditating on the joy of salvation and that song that says that in Christ I stand. Hallelujah. Those songs, those individuals in the early days, early Christianity, they have a sound message in their songs. So we're talking about the joy of salvation. But before we go into the joy of salvation, let's look at the state of the world. Many people have this question: who am I and what is my purpose? Who am I and what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? Especially at the beginning of every new journey, the beginning of life, the beginning of a marriage, you ask, what is the outcome of this marriage? The beginning of adolescents tend to find or ask that question, what is my identity? The beginning of a new journey, you want to know, what does the future hold? In this academic career that I am embarking on, what does the future hold? What does this thing that I have embarked on, this journey I have embarked on, how is it going to be? How is it going to end? If we are able to answer that question, then most of us will know that, hey, I probably should not go into this. If we are able to have some sort of a magnifying glass or a glass that can help us see the end from the beginning, then we will say, hey, we will make less mistakes in the things that we do in life. You have adolescents that are seeking to forge their identity. You have young adults as well. You have middle adults. You have all manners of different people well advanced in age, and they are still trying to determine their identity. Trying to determine your identity is a major task that most people are unsuccessful at. Trying to determine your identity is a major and a serious discovery that most people in this life, are not able to successfully meet. For the most part, most people are never able to harness the totality of their true identity. Most people. They are not able to harness the totality. They may get some part in the beginning and they lose their way in the middle. And then at the end, they find themselves going to say, if I had known, I would have done it differently. Most people are not able to harness the totality of their identity. Amen? We are supposed to find our identity. But why is it that most people are not able to live the totality of their identity? The only identity we can ever have is in Christ. Any other form of identity will crash. The only identity that we can ever have and be fortified in is in Christ. If we get up in the morning and we watch Bill Gates, and we begin to study Bill Gates, and we see, well, Bill Gates dropped out of school and you drop out of school. And you say, because he didn't finish school and he became a billionaire, and I'm going to do the same thing because I am studying Bill Gates. It's going to crash. What did I say? It's going to crash. The only identity that we can be sure of is that which is in Christ Jesus. Say to your neighbor, Christ Jesus. When we are, the Bible talks about how we are supposed to live and understand our identity in Christ Jesus. Christ is our mirror. And our gaze must be steadfast on who? Jesus Christ. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. Wow. Verse 18 says, but we all, somebody say we all. We all that they're talking about is we all that are in Christ. Because I mentioned to you the only identity that will not crash. is knowing who you are in Christ. If you don't know who you are in Christ, the people of the world will come and tell you who you're not, and you will believe it. When you don't know who you are in Christ, the devil will come to you and say you are a cancer holder, and you will believe it. If you don't know who you are in Christ, the devil will tell you your father failed, your mama failed, all your sisters and your brothers failed. You will fail too, and you will believe it. Because if we try to put our identity in our natural parents, it will crash. Our parents didn't always do everything correct. There's some good that we can take from our parents, and there's some things we better not be identified with. Do I hear amen? The only identity that is sure, the only identity that will not crash is in Christ Jesus. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. Another word for glass there is mirror. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Do I hear amen? God, if we look at 2 Corinthians as well, 4 and 6, 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, it says, for God, we commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined it in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How do you make it and know your identity? Keep on looking at the face of Jesus, because it is in the face of Jesus that you will begin to recognize who you are and your own identity. I've mentioned this several times. When you lose Jesus as your example, one of the things you first have to recognize is that Jesus came to do a trade-off. Jesus came for a trade-off. He laid down his life so that you don't have to lay yours down. He became the ultimate sacrifice so that we no longer have to do any sacrifice. He became death so that I can have life. And then there was a part of Jesus that then resurrected from the dead. And he became all things. That means whatever that is not in Jesus, it cannot be in me. It doesn't matter if my mother has hypertension. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your mother, when she was laboring with her first child, the child died as the baby came, the child died. Just because it happened to your mother or your father does not mean it's going to happen to you. If you understand and you are able to harness the totality of who you are in Christ and you walk in it. Let me tell you, many people can have a gift. And in having this gift, it can give you something. And you can keep this thing away and not ever utilize it. There was this story of a man who, his father, he asked his father for a Ferrari or one of those very expensive cars because his father was wealthy. And so he figured, hey, I'm graduating from college. My dad should be able to give me this Ferrari. And he asked the dad for the Ferrari. And the dad gave him a Bible. And he's like, this is ridiculous. The only thing in this life that I've ever asked you for, you told me to go to school, become an outstanding person. I did everything that you've ever told me. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't do anything. And I have finished school with honors, with excellence. And I ask you, let me begin my life with some of your money. Give me a Ferrari and you give me this book. This book that is useless to me. Many years later, I think the father was sick, or I don't even know that part of the story, but many years later, the guy now goes and he was opening his drawer, saw the Bible, and opened it. and the keys to the Ferrari fell out of it. Now, this was well after he's finished college. He's worked. He's working. He's a working professional for years. The things that he should have been enjoying from the beginning and from the breakthrough of his academic career, the things he should have been enjoying, he left because he refused to accept the gift. He left it in a drawer and he was without it. So because a gift is given to us, does not mean we're going to utilize it. What I am challenging you today, church, is that the gift of Christ, use it to your advantage. Don't put it on the cupboard. Don't put it on the shelf. Activate it. Say, anytime somebody gives me a bad news, I always let them know. That's not for me. That's not for me. They'll say all manners of terrible things. It started from the hospital, them telling me that I'm pregnant with twins. Then they began to say to me that the eggs, that they saw that the fertilized eggs were so close that they may think they are conjoined. I said, it cannot be. It cannot, because I'm not looking at the identity in myself or the identity. I'm not looking and say, oh, well, some people do have conjoined twins. I didn't think about that. I thought about who I was in Christ. And Christ says that I will have a baby and it will come forth well. So when they said that, I said, that cannot be for me. It cannot be possible. Whether it was true that it was not possible, or because of my faith in Christ, because I believed, maybe that belief is what separated them. I don't know. But all I knew is I was not going to have any other identity except for the identity in Christ Jesus. And then, you know, when they were born, they were telling me things like, I'll go to the store and some people say, oh, how cute. Oh, wow. Double trouble. Immediately, I tell them, it's not double trouble. If you've been hearing before that twins give you double trouble, so they believe children are trouble. So now, you, Joyce, Sonny, you have double of the trouble. I said it's simple. It's not possible. It's not possible. These ones are not double trouble. They are what? Double joy. I refuse to have any other identity outside of Christ, even when it is my own self and I am looking at the situation and the situation looks very bad. I don't ever accept a situation that is outside of Christ. I'll just look at it. Is this situation in Christ or is outside? It's a very simple equation. It's a very simple look. All you have to do is just look at it. Is this the report of the Lord for me? It cannot be. Then it can be me. And guess what? Until my last breath, I will always have that identity in Christ. And so I am challenging you that we have our identity in Christ. Don't ever confess anything that is not in Christ. It may be in your body, all right. The situation may be present, all right. But don't ever confirm the identity that is not in Christ Jesus. Speak it until you begin to see it. This is not going to be the first time somebody is cured of cancer. It will not be the first time that people that have been diagnosed with a terminal illness have been really delivered and removed from that illness. And everybody's still wondering, well, how are you walking around? And my sister died. How is it that you were spared and my sister died? The only answer I have is at all times, whether it looks it or not, whether you feel it or not, the identity that we have in Christ is not about how we feel. It is about what is the truth. And the truth says that what is not in Christ, it can never ever be in me. I want you to repeat that. What's not in Christ can never be in me. What is not in Christ can never be in me. So we're talking about the joy of salvation. What is so joyful about salvation? What is so joyful? Because, you know, Pastor was saying to us that if we do not have an understanding of our salvation, it is meaningless to us. If someone gives me a gift, let me tell you a perfect example. All of a sudden, I've just been breaking out. I was breaking out like crazy, breaking out like crazy, breaking out like crazy. You know, using different types of, you know, cream to try to see if this is going to work, that's going to work. Just breaking out like crazy. Several years ago, I bought this thing. This might help somebody in the house too. I bought this thing called Clarisonic brush. I spent $100 on it. And I left it on charge for about 3 years. I didn't even remove it off the charge. I left it on the charging dock for 3 years. I used it a few times. I was like, it hurt a little bit. I put it down and left it for 3 years. For 3 years, I was suffering. My face was breaking out like crazy, pimples everywhere, breaking out like crazy. For 3 years, I suffered. And then all of a sudden, I feel maybe this is the Holy Spirit, led me to this Clarisonic brush again. And I began to use it for 1 week. 1 week, my face stopped the breakout. It stopped breaking out. The only thing I need to wait for now is for the marks that were there before to disappear. But all of a sudden, my face just stopped breaking out. Now, what am I saying in that? What I'm trying to bring out in that is, when you don't know the value of something, it does not work for you. When you don't know the value of something, you have it. I'm sure I'm not the only one that has had that kind of experience. There has been something in your house for years. You didn't know the value of it, so you didn't use it. All of a sudden, somebody told you that this thing can do this, and then you started using, you said, my God, you begin to beat yourself up. Why didn't I know before? Why did I allow myself to suffer all these years? And I had the value, I had something so valuable, and because I did not know the value of it, I didn't have the benefits. We're talking about the joy of salvation. In order for us to understand the joy of salvation, we need to first understand what is it that he is saving us from. So let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. The book of Romans, or the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. Very quickly. It says, for the wages of sin is what? Why do we need salvation? What is the joy? What's the joy? You know, the joy of salvation. The joy. What is the joy? In order for us to understand the joy, we need to know, what are we being saved from? The wages. You do something, you get paid a wage. The wages of sin is death. That means if you sin, you will die. There is no if and about it. If you sin, you will be separated from God. Finished. End of discussion. The wages of sin is death. But, somebody say but. But the gift of God is what? Through who? Let me tell you, many people or many things can promise you eternal life. Scientists are still searching for it, I think. That fountain of youth, fountain of this, everlasting whatever, anything. They've been looking for it for God knows how long. They've dug, archaeologists have dug, they've dug up. There's this new movie out called Mummy. When nothing is lost, they're just digging for nothing, just digging for no reason. They went to dig up some things that is not even necessary, that should remain buried. They dig them up. All in search for something that is not lost, that Christ has given to us. It says that the gift, I love this scripture and I want us to dissect it for a moment. It is talking about sin and it's talking about eternal life. One aspect is talking about wage. And then another aspect of this scripture is talking about gift. Wage versus gift. Now, every one of us know the difference between a wage and a gift. Amen. When you do something, you worked, you know, when I go to Nigeria, I'm always very impressed with the little things. As the car is slowing down, they call it go slow. The car is slowing down. You have these people, they just run up for nothing. And they do it in New York too. I'm from New York. So it wasn't really that, like, you know, it wasn't like I was so shocked, because they do that in New York. All of a sudden, these people, they just run up. Dirty water in a dirty whatever. They run up to your car and then they just dirty water on my brand new car. Like, bro, like, I didn't ask you for this. Dirty water. They just put it on there. Dirty rag. They probably made it more dirty than what it was. I'm just saying. But this person, I respect them more than just the one that is standing there. It's not like their arms are broken or whatever. It's like, sir. I see that too. They'll just go. They're not even saying anything. Maybe they can't speak English or maybe they're deaf. I don't know. But all I know is even if you're deaf, your hand is not deaf. Sir, your hand is not deaf. So they'll just go like this with the car. Whereas another individual, even though it's dirty water, it's dirty everything, he comes and says, I'm going to do something. Boom, 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 boom. He wipes it. You encourage to give him a little something. It was a wage. He worked for it. It was a wage. I said, let us pay attention to this scripture. There is two aspects of this scripture that we are dissecting. It's talking, one aspect of it is talking about wage. And then another aspect is talking about a gift. The wage is associated with one aspect. And then the gift is associated with another aspect. The gift or the wage is saying that when you sin, the wages of it. Sin is like work. You sin. It is a work. You sin and then you get your wage, which is death. But it continues. There's a semicolon there for my English major. Semicolon says, but there is a but. There is an interruption between the wages of death, the wages of sin, rather, which is death. Jesus Christ came in the flesh to interrupt the wages of sin being death. He interrupted it. And he said, I'm going to give you a gift. A gift is something you don't deserve, is it? Do you deserve a gift? Somebody can say, oh yeah, well, you deserve a gift, but it's not always that you deserve a gift. And I use the example of the two people that are begging for money. One of them actually did something that gave them a wage. But the one that all of a sudden my heart just melted towards the person that is standing, didn't do anything, but he's just going like this. I'm giving him a gift. He has not earned it. He has not done anything to deserve it. I gave him a gift. Out of the abundance of the mercy inside of me, I gave him a gift. There is an association here that sin is associated with wage. You will get paid. But Jesus came and interrupted this payment because it will come to you whether you want it or not. But Jesus says, I am big enough. I am bad enough. I am all sufficient enough to interrupt the agenda. And that agenda is that you will not die. That agenda is that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is only one identity we should be identified with, and that is the identity of Christ. Anyone who chooses not to be in Christ, guess where they are? They are outside of Christ, and the wages of sin truly is death. Because they choose another identity, which is not in Christ Jesus. We're talking about why is the salvation so joyful? The salvation is so joyful. The reason why it's so joyful is because Christ has given us a gift of what? Eternal life. That's something to be joyful. Verse 13. Why is our salvation joyful? Why are we saying the joy of salvation? Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13. Christ, why is it joyful? It's joyful because Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Let me tell you. There's some people who get out of control and they begin to speak curses onto you. They begin to say all manners of stuff. You know, when they're upset, they begin to say all. And then it will be wrong for you to believe that those curses will manifest in your life. It will be illegal. it will be an injustice. It will mean that you are an ungrateful son of God if you believe that what Christ has done can be bent by man. Come on. That what Christ used his blood to pay for, what Christ says, by the slashes on my back, you are healed. It is an ungrateful behavior to think that man can reverse what God has sealed. The wages, it says, Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Why? How? Being made a curse for us. How did he do that? For it is written in the law of Moses. Let me tell you, we must dissect scripture. We can't just read. It says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Because the law already says that if you are on a tree, you are cursed. The life we live, you and I, the life we live is a life that is worthy of being put on the cross to be crucified. That's the kind of life. I remember when I was a little girl, right before I left Nigeria. I left Nigeria when I was 10. I've been in America for 31 years. Right before I left Nigeria, I saw in one era, I don't know who was president. All I know is I would see, if they said they have their armed robbers, Brother Alex or whoever did something wrong, they would gather them together, Brother Alex. I was young. I was like, well, oh my God, this is serious. They would gather them together, tie them to this thing. What is it? It wasn't a stake, man. It was like a gorodom. What is that? A drum. It was shocking for me. I was scared. I would hold on to my mommy. They would put their backs on the drum, tie them to the drum, all of them in a line. I was a child watching this. And then all of the girls, they just die. And that really, there's some things that you experience as a child. It registers in your mind. You don't have meaning to it yet, but it's still in your download. It's still in the download. Later in life, you begin to see that, oh, that's what that, I saw that. It was written that everyone who sinned, they should die, they should be crucified by the cross. That was what the law was. They should be crucified by hanging on the cross. That's why on the cross of Calvary, Jesus was not the only one there. They took him like the other criminals. Because people who steal, people who do wrong things, they put them on the cross and they crucify them. Jesus was in the middle, and then there were other people that were there too. They didn't just kill them. And it's something that they've been doing since then. They're still doing it now. Because when I saw that, where they put their backs on the drums, it wasn't just one individual. They kill them in about 6 or 7 every time they do an execution. It's always in 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. I don't know. But it's always a group of people being executed together. Do I hear an amen? So if we deserve to be on that cross, Jesus says, I will become the curse for you. I will take your place in that payment. We said that the wages of sin is what? Death. I will die the death for you. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for who? Us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that what? Hangs on the tree. Why should we be joyous about our salvation? There is a man named Jesus who came and said, I understand that the wages of sin is death, But I am telling you, I want to give you a gift. A gift means that I am doing it. I will do it. You get the benefit. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It says that I will become a curse for you, Galatians 3:13, so that everyone that hangs on the tree, they understand it's cursed. I will become that curse so that you can be uncursed. What makes it unspeakable? We talk about joy unspeakable. One of the reasons why it is unspeakable is because it is, there is no reason for penance anymore. You don't have to, does anybody remember penance, what it means? Kashina, what's the meaning of penance? You're trying to work it off. You know, there's a particular church, every year they go through what they call penance. Whatever, you know, they say, oh, I've been bad. You know, they go and talk to the pastor. I've been bad. I did this. I did that. I did that. Okay, you know, and they'll tell them just do penance. You know, penance means you work it off. For every bad that you do, the three bad, you do three good things and then we're balanced off. That can never balance anybody off because an ultimate sacrifice has already been done. An ultimate death has already been taken place. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us that we may have eternal life. We have every reason to understand that it is a joyful thing to have our salvation. Because it came to us as a gift, but there was a price that was paid for it. So ultimately speaking, salvation that we own right now is not free. It is free to you, but it came as a cost to another. How do you now make this all okay? The only way you can accept this gift, that, you know, the only way you're not going to be throwing it in Jesus's face, the only way you're going to make sure that, hey, I am benefiting from this, I am saying, Lord, thank you, is by believing. Do I hear amen? Amen. It says that this gift is given to us by grace through faith. By grace through faith. It is my prayer that we come to the full knowledge of this gift called salvation. That we come to the full fruition of it. That we have an understanding of the price that was paid by Christ. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you today. Thank you for your word. Your word that gives us a path to the understanding of the finished work of Christ. We give you praise that we will come on a daily basis to a better understanding of what you have done for us, and that we will be able to have a full belief and acceptance in the awesomeness of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your holy name. We give you praise and glory, for it is in Jesus' name we have prayed. Let's put our hands together for our mighty Savior.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.